The 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linen and feast magnificently every day. And at his gate there lay a poor man called Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to fill himself with the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even came and licked his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In his torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus in his bosom. So he cried out, 'Father Abraham, pity me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' 'My son,' Abraham replied, 'remember that during your life good things came your way, just as bad things came the way of Lazarus. Now he is being comforted here, while you are in agony. But that is not all. Between us and you, a great gulf has been fixed to stop anyone, if he wanted to, crossing from our side to yours, and to stop any crossing from your side to ours.' The rich man replied, 'Father, I beg you then to send Lazarus to my father's house, since I have five brothers, to give them warning, so they do not come to this place of torment too.' 'They have Moses and the prophets,' said Abraham. 'Let them listen to them.' 'Ah, no, Father Abraham,' said the rich man, 'but if someone comes to them from the dead, they will repent.' Then Abraham said to him, 'If they will not listen, either to Moses or to the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone should rise from the dead.'"
There was once a very rich man named Dives. He wore the most beautiful garments, and he used to strut about in squares and at home in his purple clothes. He was respected by his citizens as the most powerful man in the country, and by his friends, who gained benefits by gratifying his pride. They feasted every day in his halls, where the multitude of his guests, all rich and therefore not needy, crowded around and flattered him. His banquets were famous, with plenty of food and choice wines. In the same town there lived a beggar named Lazarus, a great beggar, great in his misery as the other was great in his wealth. But under the crust of his human misery, there was a hidden treasure which was even greater than his misery and Dives' wealth. It was Lazarus's true holiness. He had never infringed the law, not even when pressed by his need. And above all, he had complied with the precept of love for God and for his neighbour. As in the case with poor people, he used to go near the doors of rich people to ask for alms, so that he would not starve to death. And every evening he would go to Dives' house, hoping to receive at least the crumbs of the pompous banquets which took place in the magnificent halls. He would lie in the street near the door and wait patiently. But if Dives ever noticed Lazarus, he would have had him driven away, because that underfed body, covered with sores and ragged clothes, was too sad a sight for his guests. That's what Dives used to say. In actual fact, it was because the sight of so much misery and goodness was a continuous reproach to him. His well-fed dogs, adorned with precious collars, were more pitiful than Lazarus was. They used to go near the poor man and lick his sores, showing their great delight at being caressed by him. They even took the remains of the bountiful feast to him, so that Lazarus survived starvation thanks to the animals. If he had relied on man, he would have died, because man did not even allow him to enter the halls after the banquet to pick up the crumbs which had fallen from the tables. One day Lazarus died. No one on earth noticed it. No one mourned him. Nay, Dives rejoiced at not seeing, on that day and afterwards, that misery which he called a disgrace near his door. But the angels noticed it in heaven, and when he was about to breathe his last in his cold, barren cave, the celestial cohorts were present. In a bright, dazzling light, they picked up his soul, and singing hosannas, they took it to the bosom of Abraham. Some time went by, and Dives died. Oh, what a grand funeral! The whole town, already aware of his agony, crowded in the square where his house was. Some were there to be noticed as friends of the great man, some out of curiosity, and some to gain favour with the heirs. They all joined in the mourning, and their cries rose to the sky, together with the false praises of the great just benefactor who had just died. Can the word of man change God's judgment? Can human apology cancel what is written in the book of life? No, it cannot. What has been judged is judged, and what has been written is written. Notwithstanding the grand funeral, the soul of Dives was buried in hell. Then, in that horrible jail, eating and drinking fire and darkness, finding hatred and torture everywhere and in every moment of eternity, he raised his eyes to heaven. He saw in the brightness of lightning, in the fraction of a second, the indescribable beauty of heaven, which remained present in his mind and tormented him in the midst of atrocious tortures. He saw Abraham up there, far away but bright and happy. And in his lap, bright and happy also, was Lazarus. Poor Lazarus, once miserable, despised, revolting. And now he was handsome in the light of God and of his holiness. He was full of God's love and admired, not by men, but by the angels of God. Dives, weeping, cried, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. I cannot possibly hope that you will do it yourself. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue with it to cool it, for I am in agony in these flames which pierce and burn me continuously." Abraham replied, "Remember, son, that you had all good things during your life, whereas Lazarus had all bad things. But he turned evil into good, whereas you did nothing but evil with all the good things. It is therefore just now that he should be comforted here, and that you should suffer. In any case, it is not possible to change now. Holy people are spread over the earth so that men may take advantage of them. But if, notwithstanding all the opportunities, a man remains where he was, in your case a demon, it is useless to have recourse to saints. We are now separated. Herbs are mixed when they are in the field, but when they are cut, the good ones are separated from the evil ones. That is what happens to you and to us. We were together on the earth, and you rejected and tortured us in every possible way. You forgot us, acting against the law of charity. We are now divided. There is an abyss between you and us, and those who wish to cross it and come to you cannot do so. Neither can you come to us." Dives, crying more loudly, shouted, Holy Father, at least please send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. I've never understood what love is, not even among relatives. But now I understand what a terrible thing it is not to be loved. And since where I am there is hatred, in the fraction of a second I understood what love is. I don't want my brothers to suffer the pains which I am suffering. I'm terrified because they are leading the same life as I did. Oh, send Lazarus to tell them where I am and why I am here. Let them know that hell does exist, that it is dreadful, and that those who do not love God and their neighbour come to hell. Send him so that they may change in good time and may not come here in this place of eternal torture. But Abraham said, "Your brothers have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." And with a deep groan of a tormented soul, Dives replied, "Oh, Father Abraham, they will be more impressed by a dead person. Listen to me. Have mercy." But Abraham said, "If they have not listened to Moses and the prophets, they will not believe one who has risen from the dead for 1 hour to speak words of truth to them. In any case, it is not fair that a blessed soul should leave my bosom to go and be insulted by the sons of the enemy. The time of insults is over for such souls. They are now in peace by the order of God, who sees that it is useless to try and convert those who do not even believe in the word of God and do not practice it."